Did the intro glitch on your side?
I did not.
All right. Welcome to Total Disruption, everybody. Jake and I are back. Welcome, Dr. Clendenning. What's happening today?
Hey, the Michael Bercy. It's going to be a beautiful day today, actually. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be relatively warm. We're looking at no wind. Like, it's a go outside, do things kind of day.
Yeah, well, it's at least sunny here. The sun's going to start coming in through the studio window here. That's a welcome sight. You know, this weekend I was out at a tournament with one of my kids' openers called the season opener tournament for my young guy, and it was 80 degrees, hot, and then the next day, yesterday it was 40. I was like, okay, thank you for the tease. Can we crowbar spring in here, please?
Right. Quite literally a bipolar season day, yeah.
It drives me and all the other baseball nuts crazy because you watch spring training and you watch, when you're a baseball fan, you watch spring training, the Grapefruit League down in Florida. Or you watch the California teams and they're all kicking ass out there, like, what is it, Ozark Park in San Francisco, and you got Dodger Stadium, and these guys are hanging out, sunny, fans are wearing t-shirts. You know, when you look around with fan envy and you see everybody wearing short sleeve shirts, golf shirts, you get pissed.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. I've got friends that are sending me pictures. They're fishing on the Gulf right now, and they're wearing short sleeve shirts and they're in shorts and flip flops, and it's like, oh, you guys suck, because you and I were doing it, right? We were not very long ago, within a couple 3 weeks ago, I was walking on the beach in Long Beach in, you know, shorts and no shoes and a t-shirt and kind of sweating a little bit, and I was loving it. Yeah. And then we came back to the not that.
No. So interestingly enough, so that's a cool thing. You know, I don't know about you, but when somebody told me that I am one of the busiest people that they know, I'm literally just because of the way I've got two things. I've got two things that I wanted to just casually discuss today. Number one is that switching gears component, right? I don't know about you, but I find the older I'm getting, and you know, my kids are of the age where I'm still taxi, and it requires me to gather up my stuff, go taxi, and then spread out my stuff and continue what I was doing. And it's a science that you don't even know. First of all, it's a science and an art that only people with external responsibilities know. Or people that just move around a lot. And it's also a little bit, I don't want to say taxing, but after 3-4 days of that transplant, relocate, gather your stuff, I feel like it's van life for people. You know, you're sort of like camping. You collect your shit, go to the next site, deploy it, collect it again, go to the next site and deploy it. Right now, you're doing a lot of that. I mean, I'll give a couple of hacks for people that are in that realm. That are doing that. I mean, you're in the midst of some major project in your world. If you want to discuss a little bit about it, you were just rattling off some shit that was pretty impressive to me on the battling the weather, maximizing the productivity, and then amongst traveling. You got a lot done, dude.
Well, yeah, and I get that all the time too, right? People are like, "Good God, you're always doing stuff, and you get so much done, and you know how are you doing that?" And I love the van life analogy. I think that's absolutely hysterical. That resonates so well. And I guess it's a lifestyle choice, really, when it comes right down to it. And the people that are probably saying that, yeah, they have a different style of living. They do things a little bit different. Maybe they do things a little bit slower. They just aren't as, boy, I'm going to get calls. That's all right. Put it in the, you know, go ahead, put it in the chat, and that's cool. They're not as motivated. Right. They don't have the desire, you know, oh, that's just too much work. I don't want to do that. I've heard that too. I take a certain amount of joy in certain amounts of like heavy labor and heavy lifting. And, you know, Mike knows I get into a mode of visionary, building stuff for TD or different models or building stuff for different organizations. Like, I dig that stuff. Like, I like being a creator. And I like being a builder. I mean, those are some core values of who I am and what I am. And there's an easy answer for why this is, for me, there's the hack, is why this is so impressive. So Mike's talking about the big project we're doing. So we're building a new house. And when I say we, I mean my wife and I. We are literally the ones swinging the hammers, driving the equipment, doing the shovels. She's not a carpenter, right? Let's put it that way. My wife is not a carpenter, but she's a solid laborer. And, you know, she was kind of joking yesterday. She's like, I may not be the fastest, but I'm the little engine that could. I will never give up. I'm not going to quit. And that's totally true. And I would take that away from her. I have paid some laborers over my construction career, which lasts a long time. It's still going. And everybody picks on me, you know, because I have said, I don't know how many times at this point of, well, this is what they pick on me for. This is the last house I'm ever going to build for me. I have said that multiple times. So everybody gives me crap. Yeah, see, Mike knows.
Don't BS on that. Three years from now, you'll be swinging a hammer at a log cabin somewhere.
Building Florida. Something big, yeah. And that's
you'll
just
be
what
in,
it is.
You'll be in Florida, you know, racking up some sort of Riverside palace.
You know what? I would really love to build a stilt house. That's like just the fake tree house thing. I think a stilt house would be a ball to build. So I'm weird that way. I like to build that stuff, and I do. I've amassed a huge amount of skills in my career to where I don't require. Unless the county or the city says I have to, I don't require other people to do the jobs, to do the stuff. The last one I did was a 90%+ me that I did it. Stacy was working, so she didn't have an opportunity to help on that one. And I built that house in 90 days. And that was, you know, I was throwing 7 days a week, 14 hours a day to get it done. You know, don't think that this was a 8 hour a day kind of thing. It was a massive undertaking. This one's going to be close to that. We're looking, it's possible to do this one in 75, I don't know that it's going to quite get done because we're battling a little bit of weather. We got some weird stuff. I mean, right now we're pushing it really hard. We're still in late winter. There's still frost in the ground. By any stretch of the imagination, we shouldn't even be doing what we're doing. But I came out with basically a skid steer with an auger on it to drill all the caissons in. The auger's an 18-inch diameter auger with carbide drill bits on the face of it to be able to core through this frost to get down there because we got to punch 4-foot holes.
I wouldn't even know that I needed. Now listen, I with my uncle, he was an engineer, he was a mechanical engineer. So I built. Let's see. When I was 15, I built probably a 30 foot deck. That's about 9 feet off, 10 feet off the ground. We put in bay windows, laid a 15 foot by 6 foot by 8 foot high cement brick porch. I mean, I've done literally, you name it. I've jacked up a house, I've jacked up a roof, but I wouldn't know how to go order the auger with the bit. You know what I mean? I don't even know where to find that. Like, what, Home Depot, Rent-A-Center? Like, you know, so that's cool stuff. And I think, you know, because you've had a whole illustrious career in that realm. But just that confidence, man, that's admirable. You know, just that confidence of turning the damn thing on and driving it and trying to locate literally where to drill in the ground. Like, I would look at give me a 10-minute tutorial, I'm good, but maybe not precise, but I could at least probably get it over to where it needs to be. But I can just only imagine the level of energy mentally everything takes, you know, check, double check, measure twice, cut once. And then, you know, again, when you're working solo and you kind of, if you make a mistake, I don't know if anybody gets this, but geez, to redo what you've already done or to make an adjustment, that's months. And you're backing up. I would imagine you're in your own head. I mean, you could probably take as long as you want it at this point, but you're in your own head with some sort of warm weather finish, right? So it's like you want to be either doing finishing work, or you don't want to be in blazing heat, and you want to be doing something in a finishing work while the sun's out and while you're, you know, you're able to work in not these late winter conditions, because 3 months from there, it starts all over again, or 6 months from there, it starts all over again.
Well, it does, and you're right. It's a self-imposed deadline that I have to be able to get it done. And the reasons are because I want to goof off. I'll be straight up with that. It's not necessarily a very pragmatic, you know, I got to be done with this because I'm starting this project. I want to be able to jack around. Mike and I were just talking about, you know, this bipolar kind of weather, and yeah, I want to be done by 4th of July. You know why? Because I want to be doing the barbecues. I want to be fishing. I want to be hiking. I want to be traveling, and I want to be prepping for fall, which is fall's my high season of Jake goofing off time. I tend to disappear about August 15th, and I don't come back up for air till somewhere around November, because that's the time of year that I love. I'm out doing the stuff that I want to do. I don't want to be working on the house, but right now, yeah, it's winter and there's no more ice fishing to be done. The ice is melting. It's not safe to be on. The snow is melted. It's mud season. Like, there's no recreation going on. There's no reason for me to not be hammering away, literally, to be able to get done what I need to do now so that I can play when it's time to play, not just, okay, well, I finished the house. When I finished the house, now what's there to do? Oh, well, it's winter time. I can't go outside. I look at it for, I'm going to plug this in a space to where I can have my personal time to be able to go do what I want to do.
I think those months are underrated. Like, I think if you really take a look at those months from late August to like early November, man, okay, you start to get towards like October, you start to get a little, like, at least on the East Coast here, things start to die a little bit. But just think about something for a second. From late August, you're already used to sunshine and heat, right? Mm-hmm. You're already kind of conditioned to be outside and moving. Temperatures start to peak, at least on the East Coast, at, you know, mid-late August, and then they start to drop, and then they pick up again. So those months to me are super underrated. Those of you out there that are of the demographic with kids, well, again, that's back to school and all that. But even though I have kids, I don't think about back to school anymore. I think I'm just so conditioned that I'm looking at activity seasons, right? And I'm not a winter. I used to be. It's funny, as I've gotten sort of in this age bracket, maybe it is kids, I'm not a winter sports guy. Like, I'm not running to go do winter stuff. I'm not flocking to snow. I'm flocking to heat, warmth, activity, outside movement, where I don't have to, because again, I don't have to pack all this crap and then go. Maybe some of that's a subconscious break from the life and the things that you and I are talking about right now, where, I'm doing a lot of that. So no, back to the skill of packing, unpacking, planning, setting, and maintaining energy. I find that if I run into problems, because sometimes I get a little bit, not overwhelmed, but I get a little bit where I'm overthinking what I need to do next. I'm planned out, but I'm like, oh, wait a minute. If I have enough time, I'll get to this. If I have enough time, I'll get to that. If I have enough time, I'll get to this. And then I find myself accumulating, you know, and if I have a 90-minute time block, I find myself accumulating a 120-minute time block of activities and collecting it and bringing it with me. And that's not always the best move for me. I find that if I have a 90-minute time block, here's how I break it down. I break it down, I'll bring a 60 minutes worth of activity, like creating a something or other for TD, mapping out my schedule for the week, making phone calls, doing the admin, and then I'll block off another 30 minutes of physical activity. Walking, staring, meditating, chilling, relaxing. I will factor both components in this way that when, you know, one of my kids arrives at the time they're done their activity, I'm not just sitting in the car scrolling on my phone. Hey, how was practice? Or hey, how was your day? How was school? Because there's a lot of unpacking that has to happen because the transportation process hits. And then the second the transportation process is over, chances are there's something else I have to do. How about you?
See,
how
do you, you just made the point, Mike. You totally did in a very quick way, but I'm going to go back and point it out of when you said, I'm not just sitting in the car scrolling on my phone. When people are asking how we get so much done, there's the reason, right? There's the reason right there. We're not just sitting during time, right? If you're, and so there's another piece I want to talk about too. You were talking about the why you don't notice back to school. I think I know why, but that's the reason we get so much done. It's not a matter of, you know, if I'm sitting still, my brain's spinning. I am building something in my head. I am planning on, you know, something is happening so that when I sit down and I'm able to start on, right, a new build, like the CRG stuff as I'm working on building out the app and stuff, you do have to schedule thinking time, right? That is a thing in your calendar, is thinking time, it can't be mindless thinking. It's got to be planning, preparation, strategic planning time. We talked about this from an executive strategy standpoint. You have to have strategic planning time. It's the same in just your day-to-day personal stuff. You know, when people look at this house build and I say, well, it's going to be done in 90 days. Okay, well, there's a whole bunch of stuff you don't see. It's the glacier theory, right? You've all seen the picture of the glacier sitting in the water where you only see 10% of it and 90% you don't see. That's true because, yeah, I may be what you see and what you understand is I drilled a hole, I poured some concrete, that's day one. That's not true. I've been thinking about this build and planning this build, and I've got stacks of blueprints that I drew. All the things, probably, where are we right now? Easily 6+ months of sitting down with strategic planning to know, where am I going to get that auger? To know who's the well driller, who's the septic guy, have all this stuff laid out in advance. But to Mike's point, he's carrying with him the, you know, okay, well, I know I'm going to have an hour while somebody's doing the thing that I have a choice. I'm either going to sit in the front of the truck, car, whatever your rig is, and I'm gonna doom scroll and burn an hour, or I'm gonna research this particular thing or develop this particular thing, or I'm gonna deploy to be able to do that. We're just working mobile, which everybody's doing. Everybody's working remote, but we're planning that time. We're looking ahead and saying, yeah, I've got some downtime over here to where when I have to get there, I know I've got an hour to kill. It's not about filling the time. Right. That's not quite the term I want to use. It's about being productive with the time. It's still putting it in your calendar and saying, well, I've got an hour during this time. What am I going to work on? OK, well, I need to make these 4 phone calls. Here's my chore list, whatever it's going to be. And if I don't get through, to Mike's point, you know, he's got 120 minutes to fill an hour space. Well, odds are he's got another hour gap of, okay, well, I did the chauffeur to here, but now I have to chauffeur to there for the other one, and we've got to do this stuff, and Mike's always doing that. And I think that's the reason you don't even recognize back to school is simply because it doesn't change, right? You are so involved and so active with the boys all summer long, you know, during breaks, you know, spring break is meaningless. What are you doing? Playing baseball 5 days a week. You're there. Literally. You're always traveling. You're in the car, you're going. It isn't that back to school is shaking up a different schedule that you've gotten in. A lot of times you see the summer breakers. And we were the same way. We were playing soccer. We were running cross country. We were doing all that stuff. So it might have changed what time I had to get in the truck and drive from here to there, but I was still getting in the truck every day and driving from here to there to do the thing. So I think because of that high activity level that you guys always run, I think that's why you don't even recognize, you know, oh, it's September. Oh, you're doing school now? Okay, well, whatever. Yeah, I think that's why you don't.
It's so bizarre. Like, I'll break down my evening for you yesterday, just as a case in point, case study on how to get shit done. I had client meetings all afternoon. I had about a 45-minute space to plan about 2:30 or 3, I had about a 45-minute space to plan my evening. From 3:30 to 4, I had to be in the car, be in position. 4 to 5, I had a client. 5 to 6, I had a client. My one son was done his practice at 6, schlepped him back. I had to do a few phone calls and a few other sort of admin type situations, eat food when I got back. Ran at 7:30, ran my other kid over, trained him for half an hour. He had 8 p.m. baseball practice. Sat, worked with those guys for till about 8:30, or till about 8, ran back to my house, trained my other kid, did some physical fitness training, and then ran back and picked up my other kid from practice. It was just like bang, 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 bang. So what that means, right, day in the life of a parent. So what that means is when I'm actually doing nothing, I'm okay with it. Like when I'm literally doom scrolling at some point in my life and I'm saying, you know what, I just want to play solitaire on my phone. I want to do low brain output. I'm totally cool with it. I have zero guilt when I'm doing nothing. I have zero guilt when I'm watching a movie. I have zero guilt when I say, all right, for this 30 minutes, I am going to scroll and do nothing on my phone. I am not going to speak to anybody. I am just going to sit here and be a vegetable. It's on purpose.
It's on purpose, yes.
Zero F's. Because I know that when the next day hits, like today, for example, it's just bang, 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 bang. There's obviously low energy periods and up energy periods. However, like figure out how I appreciate the downtime. I'm all, yeah, man, I'm just doing nothing. I'm watching a movie. I can't wait to check out and do nothing. Now,
which is which you've got to do. Sometimes you've got to do it. You've got to give your brain that emotional rest, that just stimulus rest. And, you know, and to Mike's point, it's got to be intentional. And that's where being basics, when you're running full tilt like Mike's doing and you're running full tilt like I'm doing, the basics are the most critical things that we've got to do. It's feeding yourself. You know, he mentioned, hey, somewhere in there, I got to eat food, but it's not a, you know, I guarantee Mike didn't drive through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Guarantee. No. I have never seen him do that. So it's when we go out to dinner, we go out to eat, we do whatever, what Mike orders, like I eat fairly well. I do a pretty good job. Mike kicks my ass. I want to be really clear on that. Plain and simple, he is very disciplined in what he's eating. He's putting the right fuel in his body for the right output. It's a critical aspect. If you're eating junk, you're going to feel like junk. You've got to get up. You got to move. You got to stretch. This morning is an example. I had to force myself to go through my stretching routine, and my body was giving me the grrr. I mean, it was like trying to move a dog that did not want to go somewhere. But it's regardless that it didn't want to do that, it's what I had to do. It's what needed to be done. It is the core basics to be high functioning. If you're not doing the basics, you're not going to be high functioning. It cannot happen. So that you've got to go to those basics. I love the fact that Mike's bringing up the fact of intentional, just shut my brain off time. I have that too. Like, I'm a movie fan. Everybody knows that. You guys get that by this point. I lay out all kinds of stuff. Movies are my mindless time. I will plan an hour and a half to sit there just about drooling out of my left because I can plug into that movie, shut my brain off. It's not just background noise. I can plug into that space and just do nothing for that hour and a half. And it's okay. I'm still getting, the reality is I got 14 hours worth of high functioning, productive stuff done. I'm allowed an hour and a half before I go to bed or whatever that's going to be to shut off. And I've done remarkably well the last 2 months of shutting down social media. I'm not off social media, but I am spending far less time. I'm down to like 10 minutes a day that I'm spending on social media, and the reality is I feel better.
I put in a self-imposed rule, and you know, my youngster, my youngest, my middle child, I have to actually create a buffer. He that kid loves to just be, and you know what? I think we're probably going to expand on this in our next episode. So if you guys want to hear a little more detail about this, because I think we're on to something here, but I put in buffer times for social media, and then I put them on myself because I want to see what that actually does, because I can't coach my kids unless I've coached myself in it. And if I set up parameters, I want to also see if those are realistic parameters or I'm just being a policing parent. But anyway, why don't we pick up on this on our next episode, because we're running out of time today. I think we covered a lot of ground today, Jake. What about you?
Yeah, man. All right, I'm looking forward to it.
All right. So everybody, listen, we'll be back here on our next episode of Total Disruption for my cohort, Dr. Jake Clendenning. I'm Michael Liversi. You were just live on Total Disruption.